ABC Radio Australia.
Now, the members of the International Seabed Authority Council will meet next week to continue negotiations on the draft regulations on the exploitation of mineral resources in international waters. The ISA is the United Nations body which was set up to enable access to seabed minerals and ensure effective protection of the marine environment in international waters. Nick Bainton, a professor at the Australian National University, has been tracking the development of deep sea mining projects in the Pacific and travelled to Kingston, Jamaica last year to watch the ISA process unfold as it looks to negotiate the new mining rules. He told Lucy Cooper, despite pressure, he doesn't expect the environmental regulations to be delivered anytime soon.
It's fair to say that it's quite a slow and laborious process, and that goes towards our understanding of why it's taken some time to be able to reach finalisation of those regulations. I think the initial drafting began back around 2014 and occurred over about a five-year period. And then what we're really seeing now is an ongoing negotiation where member states are reviewing the draft text, debating over environmental safeguards, financial payment systems, liability rules, institutional oversight, that sort of thing. And that takes time. The final stage will be towards getting some degree of finalisation and then actual adoption of those regulations. And that's still pending. And it's a slow process because you've got so many different actors involved between some 36 member states at the council level and then 169 members at the assembly. And being a UN process, it means a somewhat democratic process. So everyone theoretically can have a voice, have a say, and that necessarily takes time. And it also means that, for example, if one state objects to something, then that can be enough to pause the process or to require a review around a particular piece of text or line of text. And so again, you can, once you've factor in that as part of the process, you can begin to see why this takes so long.
Is there a sense that we're getting any closer to seeing them delivered?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of pressure coming from some states and corporate actors to be able to finalise these regulations as soon as possible. I think the realistic scenario is that we're several years away from that, so it may be somewhere in the late 2020s. The really optimistic scenario might be that within the next 1 to 2 years. And then there's the scenario where it's just delayed indefinitely because the different actors are not able to reach agreement around that. And just to give some sense of how that plays out, so last year at the July meeting, some of the sticking points when it got to assembly were around things like the distribution mechanism for any funds that are or revenue that's generated out of this. And because the resources themselves are treated as common heritage of humankind, then all of the member states have got a stake in the outcome and the financial flows from this. And it's not yet settled what that mechanism would look like. And at the moment, they only have two scheduled meetings a year. And that's a lot for many of the actors to be able to mobilise themselves and get to Jamaica and to put resources aside in order to be part of that process. So I think fast-tracking it becomes problematic from a practical perspective, and I wouldn't expect that we're going to see that anytime soon.
As the name implies, the International Seabed Authority, these regulations are in relation to international waters. And so I wonder how then a lot of, you know, the Pacific region particularly, are they keeping an eye on this, or is they have their own domestic laws to worry about as well?
Well, it's both. So Pacific nations that are concerned about the possibility of seabed mining and the effects of that, they're watching this very closely with what's playing out at the ISA and just how robust those regulations will be. And then for those nations that are contemplating seabed mining themselves within their own EEZ, so for example, Cook Islands and previously Papua New Guinea, they have been busy developing their own regulatory frameworks for activities within their territorial waters, but with an eye to what's happening at the at the ISA, because ideally that you would have some degree of alignment between domestic regulations and international regulation. Where we see too much divergence, I think you've then got the possibility for quite different outcomes for how we manage the impacts of seabed mining, and I think that's a particular concern for many people.
Last year, in April, President Trump signed an executive order to accelerate the deep sea mining mineral search and industry. Since then, we've seen quite a few movements, particularly within their own territories, as well as allow for applications to mine the seabed in domestic and international waters. How does this affect everything and seemingly the Trump administration looking above and beyond and seemingly ignoring the ISA?
It's definitely got many people quite concerned, and I think it's certainly thrown up a lot of questions around the future of multilateralism and what it might mean for an international regime for managing the common heritage of humankind. Part of the background on this is that the US never ratified UNCLOS. And so as a result of that, they have remained an observer state, but they don't have voting rights at the ISA. They have continued to always be present there and to no doubt shape the flow of events within the ISA.
And that there is Nick Bainton, a professor at the Australian National University.